by Kevin J. Hayes. That was one of the most enjoyable books about a guy from Hartford, Connecticut, who in the late 19th century really began bicycling as a communal exercise with the organization of what were called centuries, people that would ride 100 miles in a day. But also, the book tells us how the bicycle was at one time a very high-end piece of transportation. It was faster than a horse. It was faster than running. It was faster in some cases even than trains, because bicycles could cut angles off that trains couldn't cut off. But it's about the history of the way the bicycle emerged as something that became at first the tool or the plaything of the well-to-do, because they were expensive. But once mass manufacturing of the kinds of bikes that we call the safeties, that more represent bikes we have today, came into the world, it became something for the everyman. And it made the everyman and the king, as somebody said, and put them in the same place. So again, it's called The Two-Wheeled World of George B. Thayer by Kevin Hayes. And as some people have done in the past couple of weeks, if you want more information in these, just email me through the University of Maine English Department website, and I'll get back to you. Now, last year, we had a book that we talked about called Wheels on Ice by Jessica Cherry and Frank Seuss, about people that took monumental bicycle rides across the frozen lands of Alaska. These people were either demented, courageous, or just had that, I want to be the first to do this, or first one of these people to do it. And it was it's a fascinating book. And it's a fascinating book because there is a bike Iditarod, which I had no idea about, which follows much of the original Iditarod path. And it's competed with, people compete on in it every year. It has the same kind of rules and stopovers and the like. But it's just called Wheels on Ice. And it's about the history of bicycling in Alaska. When I saw the cover of this person with a fat, tired bike in the Alaskan wilderness with nothing but snow in sight, I said, I wonder if this will be any good. It was a great book, really well written. Then, friend of the show, Kevin Hayes was on with us too, the Two-Wheeled World guy. It's The Self-Propelled Voyager, my friend Duncan Jameson from Sports Literature Association, Ashland University. The Self-Propelled Voyager is a book about the history of the bicycle, and again, the social impact of a bicycle is phenomenal. There are places in communities today, especially in impoverished communities, where if you have to use a bicycle get to work, people feel sorry for you. They look down on you. Oh, this poor person can't afford a car. Whereas for upper middle class and upper class white people commuting to white collar jobs in all parts of the country, being able to ride your bike and not use a car is both something people want to do and a symbol of wealth and a symbol of being affluent. So that the Duncan looks at all sides of that. It dovetails with another book, Bike Lines or White Lines by Melody Hoffman. We had her on, in that it talks about the way the bike went from an upper class thing to a lower class thing to now it's all over the ballpark and how it changed things. One of the books that I read, it's huge, it's long, it was one of the most eye-opening books I read in a long time. It's called Hearts of Lions by Peter Joffrey Nye, which is essentially not a history of cycling, but a history of all the great cyclists. And there are people in our history who did phenomenal things in bicycle racing, long distance, velodrome things that we don't know about. And my eyes were open to how there were people who were, including a guy who was a phenomenal speed skater, Olympic level speed skater and an Olympic level bicycle rider. Ooh, who did that later on? Well, a number of American Olympic speed skaters went into cycling after that. The last cycling book was Iron Mac, Reggie Iron Man McMara by Andrew Holman, which was a great story of a scrappy guy who made a lot of money and history as a cyclist and who brought bicycle racing to the fore in America. And it's very hard for people to understand this. There was a time when bicycle races in Madison Square Garden outdrew anything on ice, including ice capades, not just hockey, outdrew basketball, outdrew football. Professional football didn't draw as many people to games as cycling. And it was an interesting time. Then I thought, well, let's look at some books that are, in a sense, unclassifiable or one of very few from a particular genre. The Fast Ride by Jack Gilden about Spectacular Bid, one of the best books I've read in years.
What a fascinating story, because you thought you knew pretty much all there was to know about Spectacular Bid.
Yeah, and then it turns out Spectacular Bid, maybe for some bad trainers and an unlucky needle in the hoof, might have been every bit as good as any horse ever that ran. And Jack Gilden did meticulous research on this. All of his writing is that way. That one's from Nebraska. Then there was a book that when I say moved me, this book brought me to tears. It was called Wheels of Courage, How Paralyzed Veterans from World War II Invented Wheelchair Sports, Fought for Disability Rights, and Inspired a Nation by David Davis. And we've had other books by David Davis. We'll be talking about another one later on. As World War I and World War II progressed, the rate of soldiers dying in battle dropped some because of better medical care. But the number of soldiers whose lives were saved but who were terribly paralyzed was quite enormous. And as the government went to deal with it, they just wanted to hide these guys away. And what happened was a group of veterans, especially in California, fought hard to try and get the Paralympics going, which we would not have without these guys. And Wheels of Courage is a book I'd recommend to anybody to read. It makes no difference whether you like sports or not. But to understand how often, for so long, disabled veterans were shunted aside. Put them out of sight, people won't see them, they won't understand the cost of war, and how for their own dignity they fought back. Another quick unclassifiable one, The Sport Marriage, Women Who Make It Work by Stephen M. Ortiz. A very interesting book about how, in the day of Kelsey, of Travis Kelce and his girlfriend, I always forget her name, who is she? Taylor Swift, might be an interesting book for people to read if they want to start following that saga. But it does talk about the real difficulty that a lot of women have in being married to professional athletes, not just because of the groupie thing, but because of all the moving around, the having to deal with the children when they're not there. Then I guess probably my favorite book that doesn't deal with one sport that we've ever had was edited by Bill Littlefield, The Top of His Game, The Selected Writings of W.C. Hintz. If you know a young person that wants to go into sports journalism in any form, they need to read this book, because way before anybody with a blog was a journalist, there were people like W.C. Hintz who could flat out write. I would argue that his long-form journalism pieces, including Death of a Racehorse, rank among the greatest writing ever. And the interesting thing is, other people who thought that, Frank DeFord, Bill Littlefield, Rick Riley, Rick Tellender, Bob Ryan, people who are on the Mount Rushmore of sports writing, when they tell you who was one of the best, they all say The Top of His Game. And when we talked about it with Bill Littlefield, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, sure was.
So that's list. And be sure, really, people, if you, as some people have done already, if you want more information, just email me. You can find me at the UMaine website, English Department website, and it'll be forwarded to me, because a lot of good books.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Bruce. We'll take a break. Bruce will be right back. His conversation with Maine hockey coach Ben Barr next on Downtown.
Hi, this is Tommy Rowe, and you're listening to Downtown with Rich Kimball.